walking around the past couple of days has been the story about the possible increase in the property tax levy in Grand Forks, North Dakota by 28.6%. That's a large number. And some people in Grand Forks are not happy about that. And in fact, they held a public meeting last night where some folks stood up and said, wait a second here, what are you trying to do to us? To talk more about this, give us the details, find out why this might be happening. I want to go right to the expert, right to the top in Grand Forks Public Schools. His name is Larry Nyblad. He is the superintendent of public schools in Grand Forks. Dr. Nyblad, how are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I'm doing great.
Excellent. And people in Moorhead, of course, would recognize Larry Nyblad's name because he was the superintendent of schools in Moorhead for many years. So people will recognize his name. What's going on in Grand Forks? You're looking for a 28.6% increase in the property tax levy. That's a large number by any measure, Dr. Nyblad. What's happening?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing, it's important to understand, you know, the basis for that number, because it's I wouldn't say it's misleading, but it's difficult perhaps to understand. You know, the legislature requires now, as of this year, school districts in North Dakota to calculate any change in their mill levy by deducting the 50 mills that were bought down by the legislature in local property tax this year, and also to deduct out the increase in taxable valuation. So when you do those things, that's where you come up with the 28%. But, you know, if you look at the bottom line, you know, taxpayers' school taxes will actually go down next year by 28 mills. So, but basically, I guess to distill it down, what the school district is looking at as one possible scenario is to essentially not give a 50 mil buy down, but to give a 28 mil buy down. So capturing, you know, 22 mils, which of course they have the authority to do.
So with the buy down from the state, what you're saying, or your point is that it's really not 28% in real terms. It's less than that. Am I accurate in saying that? Did I hear you right? Or is it,
I don't know that I'd fully characterize it that way, in fairness. You know, what the legislature is, you know, I think essentially trying to do is to say, we gave 50 mills. If you locally as a school board erode that, you know, we want that to be noticed to people. And so that's what the 28% represents. It represents, you know, backing out any valuation increase in property values. It represents backing out the 50 mills. And then when you do that, then it becomes 28%. But if you actually look at, in Grand Forks, you know, the average home is valued, according to our assessor, at $169,795. So last year they would have paid $917 in school property taxes. Based upon this scenario the school board is looking at, they would pay $708, so it would be a savings of $208. So, you know, I guess the concern is, you know, the difference between 208 at 28 mills versus 50 mills, and, you know, for that average home, it would be about $164 is really what we're talking about.
So there would still be a savings, though, right? The property taxes would be lower?
Yes, that's correct. It'd go from 917 to 708 for a $208 savings.
Okay, so they'd be paying less in property taxes.
Correct.
Okay, yes. Okay. That's a key part of the story, because there are people, as you know, at the meeting last night in Grand Forks, who are very upset with what's going on. I mean, do they have a reason to gripe, Dr. Nyblad, or are they like me and they're maybe a little confused slash not understanding of the process here in the numbers?
Well, you know, I think there's a combination of those things. I think every question that I heard asked, you know, has a good factual answer to it. You know, I think the concern that some of the, you know, and there were probably about 30 people, maybe 35 there. There were, I think, 7 that addressed the board. This comes after, based upon legislative mandate, we sent a letter out to all the households, or taxpayers actually, parcels of property that were going to see more than a 10% valuation increase. That was a new mandate by the legislature this year. So we sent out almost 700 letters. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's a massive uprising, but I will say that, you know, the people that addressed the board, you know, raise the kind of points that you would think. And, you know, a lot of it is based upon, you know, lack of information, which, you know, we hopefully will address all those questions. But some of it is really based upon, you know, the view that they feel they were promised by the legislature a 50 mil buy down, and they believe, you know, the school board is eroding that by 22 mils, and they don't like that.
And why are you having to do this? As I understand it, there's a budget deficit in the Grand Forks School District. Is that the reason for this increase, or this not as big of a reduction as people expected?
Yeah, that's part of the reason. Last thing I think the school board wants to do is raise taxes. In fact, the school board has a history of either maintaining or lowering taxes over the last couple of decades. So it's not something the school board, you know, is trying to do or to act in the face of the legislature, as some have tried to characterize it. But, you know, essentially what's going on is last year our budget on about an $81 million budget had a $6 million deficit. And the primary reasons for that were cuts in federal aid, and most of that relates to what's called impact aid, which is the federal government's property tax payment to our school system to support children on the Grand Forks Air Force Base. And because of, you know, basically Congress not appropriating what typically they have in the past and us budgeting to have a normal appropriation, you know, we saw a significant reduction. So, you know, in peer numbers, we had budgeted for $4.5 million and received about $2.1 million for impact aid. So that was a big part of that $6 million deficit. Beyond that, we had to add staff, and that was because of enrollment growth. And I think, you know, it's kind of a long answer. I'll try to make it very succinct for you and your listeners. But prior to 2009, the state of North Dakota paid school districts for either their fall enrollment or their spring enrollment, whichever was higher. And the effect of that was that if you were a declining enrollment district, you would get paid for what the legislature calls phantom students in the next year. So, you know, last year, let's say you had 500 students, and this year you have 450, you're going to get paid for 500. So the philosophy behind that is that you allow some mitigation so that a school district can make adjustments without, you know, causing pain to staff and educational programs. Well, prior to 2009, not only did they do that, but they also paid for new growth in the current year. So if you had a higher fall enrollment, they would pay you based on that versus your last year's enrollment. Well, that changed in 2009. And the reason it probably worked in 2009 for the state is because almost every school district in the state had declined enrollment. Well, now the reverse is true. You know, I'd say probably up to three-fourths of the districts in North Dakota are increasing enrollment, and certainly the large districts, you know, like Grand Forks and Fargo, West Fargo, Bismarck, Minot, and so on, are experiencing some extraordinary growth. And what happens then is, to us last year, and which explains a good part of our deficit, we received about 225 students more than we had the year before, and yet we did not receive one dime in state aid for those students, because we're paid on last year's enrollment growth.
I see.
And so, you know, when you quantify that, that's around $1 million. Sure. This year, it's even exaggerated because, you know, the state formula per pupil is about doubled. You know, it's going up to $8,810 per pupil. And we're expecting in Grand Forks about a 300-plus student increase. So that's about $3 million. So, you know, I know these numbers can get confusing, but the concept is essentially, you know, we're not being paid in the current year for our growth, and yet we're having to hire staff and take care of other educational expenses.
And maybe you just answered my next question, but one of the criticisms at the meeting last night that was brought up, I think, by a city council member in Grand Forks who was an audience member was, well, if you've known about this since 2009, that you're going to have some issues coming up, why didn't you do something about it before now? Why are you waiting until 2013 to try to catch up with all this stuff? Is this something that you did see coming down the road? And were there things that, in retrospect, you could have done differently so as to avoid what's happening right now?
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're talking about a Herald story or Forum Communication story, I think, you know, unfortunately, and I met with the reporter who wrote that story today, I think there was a misunderstanding of that council member's statement. What they were reacting to is what I just talked about, is that 2009 point in time where the law changed relative to that issue. And so, you know, essentially a previous speaker had said, you know, if you've known this, you know, since 2009, why haven't you done something about it? So, you know, we haven't been in a financial predicament since 2009. In fact, our budget has been very healthy up until, you know, these kind of triple whammies that affected us last year. You know, we actually were adding to our fund balance and expanding our budget and not raising the local mill levy.
I gotcha.
But, you know, so I think it was just a misunderstanding. But, you know, the idea of, well, if you know that the policy had changed in 2009 and haven't done anything about it, well, we didn't know until last year we had a change in our pattern of enrollment. We had 16 years of declining enrollment in Grand Forks, and last year we had 225 new students. So, you know, it was a change in our experience. And the only way to remedy, you know, that what I would call a glitch in state educational policy would be to appeal to the legislature. And there was legislation introduced by, you know, really a couple of West Fargo-based legislators, Senator Gary Lee and Representative Koppelman, and other sponsors to fix that and to revert back to the 2009 law. And that was narrowly defeated, really, by 13 votes in the North Dakota House of Representatives. And so, you know, many of us, of course, people like me, attempted to lobby to get that resurrected during the session and were unsuccessful. And I think, you know, what the legislature ended up doing instead was they adopted what's called the rapid enrollment growth legislation, which pays certain districts a small portion of a full payment if they meet a certain threshold. And, you know, the current law threshold is you have to have at least 4% increase in your enrollment. Well, now West Fargo gets, you know, that because they're over 4%. Grand Forks, of course, doesn't get anything because we're just under 4%. Okay. And so those are some of the inequities that, you know, we're concerned about. And again, we're not trying to point fingers at the legislature or individual legislators. I think we're very proud of what our legislature did in terms of addressing some of the needs of the state and the demand for the resources. But I think this is just one of those glitches that it's a worse problem than perhaps was anticipated for districts like Grand Forks. And, you know, it's something that really does need to be fixed in the future.
And the point you want, the bigger picture point you want to get out there, what I'm hearing is that this is not a way of Grand Forks schools thumbing their nose at the legislature and saying, look, if you're not going to do this, then we're going to do it. That's not the case. You explained yourself with the different things going on and why you feel you need to do this. It's not a case of up yours, Bismarck, or something like that, correct? Is that fair to say that? Right, okay.
You know, no, I appreciate that comment because that's not at all, you know, what we're about. I mean, we have good relationships with our legislators and you know, with that body, and we respect their work. I think what we're trying to do is to remedy our local situation with local control and with local authority. And it's not fair, I think, to characterize it as legislature gave with one hand, the school district is trying to take away with the other, even though, you know, I understand people would see that that would be the effect of it if this proposal is adopted by the board. But what it is, I think, is, you know, we have a local situation because of things like the impact aid for the airbase, because of the growth issues, and the school board really, you know, doesn't have much authority to raise revenue. You know, one of the city council members last night, you know, kind of bragged to the school board that, you know, gee, we're not raising taxes in the city, therefore you shouldn't. But of course, you know, that's not the full story. A city government and county governments, they have other opportunities to raise revenue. You know, the city, for example, of Grand Forks has a sales tax revenue. Grand Forks is experiencing record proceeds from those sales tax. They also are able to increase fees. You know, the local mm-hmm. school board can't charge for their educational services. The local school board can't levy a sales tax. The only authority the school district has to raise local revenue is the property tax.
Yep. Dr. Nabla, I need to cut you off. I apologize. I'm up against a break here. Thank you very much for coming on and explaining it. It makes it much clearer to me now what's going on, and I hope listeners understand better the situation in Grand Forks. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity, Mike.
Yep, you bet. Larry Nyblad, Superintendent of Schools in Grand Forks, North Dakota.